East High.
Hello, podcast fans.
It's Wildcat Minute, where we talk about High School Musical 3, senior year, 1 minute at a time. I'm Condra.
And my name is Tyler.
And today we're talking about minute 82 of High School Musical 3, senior year. Minute 82 starts out with Kelsey saying, "It'll be fine," and ends with Mrs. Bolton and Chad looking concerned.
I do love a concerned look. A pan to concerned faces, but we will get there.
Yeah, we got to finish up this Kelsey and Troy conversation first.
Yeah, honestly, her like line, "It'll be fine," to Troy, like, you don't want the play to be fine. You want the play to be good, great, amazing even.
Or fun, like bare minimum. It'll be fun still.
Yeah, like when you go see a friend's show and you don't know what compliment to tell them, so you just say, "That was fun."
Except you don't want to say to them, "It looks like you had fun up there."
That's well, not now enough. Because everyone knows that that's the thing that you say.
I was actually listening to performers talk about like good compliments to give after a show to someone. And they said, yeah, you can tell someone hasn't been paying attention if they say, "It looks like you had fun up there." Because like, you want to be even slightly specific, like, "Oh, your energy in this scene was great." Like, or, "I thought your costume was really clever," or something like, just some specificity.
I mean, the cliche of like, "You guys were having a lot of fun up there" is for like a bad improv show where they're only making each other laugh, but not the people in the audience. Like,
yeah,
that's what that compliment is reserved for a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, if it's going to be the big show night and the Juilliard people are going to be there, like,
yeah, it should not be fine.
I guess it's good that Kelsey's not feeling the pressure like on herself. Because, like, maybe she doesn't care either way whether she makes it into Juilliard, but...
I bet she is, but she's, like, trying to play it cool with Troy.
We don't know much about Kelsey's background. Like, you know, we assume that she's not rich like Sharpay.
Yeah, because she has to work for Sharpay over the summer.
Oh, yeah, true, so... But maybe she just rides that connection. Like, she stays with Sharpay and Ryan as the, like...
No matter how much she hates it.
Yeah. Sometimes you gotta suck it up.
And she's an excellent person at doing that.
I mean, I guess, like, for all of the things that we've seen about Sharpay and Ryan, it's not like they're, like, outwardly abusive.
Sharpay verbally is.
Yeah, I don't remember all of the things Sharpay has said right now, and I'm not gonna, like, defend her right now. But, like, she's like kids TV abusive, which is like not that bad in the grand scheme of things.
But it's still not okay.
Yeah, I guess it's like if you have like someone whom you know you're never going to take seriously, then sometimes the things that they say just like you can just let wash over. That's how I would be with Sharpay. I was like, why would I listen to you? You're ignorant of everything that's ever happened on this planet. But your point is taken.
So... It kind of like that's kind of it. Like,
yeah, Kelsey just kind of like does like a half smile to Troy and just like, well,
I've run out of clever things to say and I'll just smile awkwardly while we take five.
If this was happening between Troy and Gabriella, it'd be cute. But if it's between Troy and Kelsey, it's
a little awkward?
Stilted.
Yeah.
We cut back to Gabriella walking around Stanford, but now she looks a little confident.
She's biking, like zipping around.
Where did she get a bike, Condra?
Tyler, that's my big question, is no freshman during an orientation is going to be on a bike. I ran orientation for 3 years. I know about orientations, but this is a bunch of bubkiss.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing, like, this is, like, a huge problem with this movie, actually, right? We're built, I can't understate this, much like Zach, our previous guest, said. We've been building up to Gabriella, like, coming to Stanford and being like, wow, like, this is where I'm meant to be. And all we see, like, she's not talking to anyone. She doesn't, like... pull up to a table and like meet a kind like professor or admissions agent who goes, oh, you're Gabriella. We've been looking forward to meet you. Welcome. We're so glad you're here. There's no like other like students who are like smart and funny and attractive that Gabriella's like, I wonder if these will be my new friends instead of my old friends back at home. She's just riding a bike around in a Kermit-esque montage. Like,
and also she's riding around in a skirt, which like props to that, Vanessa Hudgens. A denim skirt. Go you.
She's in the same outfit that she was before, which implies that everything's kind of happening on the same day on her end, which means that this whole like emotional journey that she's gone on from being nervous walking around to being confident and riding a bike around has all happened within the same day.
And we've seen none of it, which just shows how much of the Troy story this truly is.
Troy story, you are a toy. Anyway.
We've made that joke before.
You are a Troy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
T
been a while.
Is for Troy. Yeah. So she's like zipping around and then we cut back to Troy. Like literally it's just her biking for like 2 seconds.
And I mean, referencing back to the article we read last episode, I mean, like, is this the impression that's being made? Maybe there's more scenes that are coming up, but like, this is a very soft impression of the Stanford campus. Like,
oh, you can bike.
What are we supposed to glean from this information? Like, I'm like, of all the things to happen in a High School Musical movie where it's like, okay, like, we get it. Like, it's a little campy and the storytelling is simple. Like, this isn't just like, oh, laugh it off. Like, this is silly. Like, this is actively bad. Like, I cannot think of it. Like, especially where this minute ends up. Gabriella calling Troy on the phone and saying, we need to talk. Like, what has gone from point A to point B to get us here? Like, I'm actively boggled in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so we cut from Gabriella being all confident and biking back to Troy, who is walking in his house with Chad, and he's holding a garment bag with his prom tux in it.
Yeah. Did you notice how when he's like walking around the corner, he kind of like walks around the corner like a little slow, like he's creeping up to see if his mom's in the room or something?
Yeah. Because he like comes up on her and he's like, hey, mama. And like kind of not like startles her like severely, but like definitely is going for a reaction.
Gives her a little like peck on the cheek.
And Chad just opens the fridge and gets a seltzy.
Did we talk about this before? Their fridge is like paneled with wood on the front, so it blends in with the rest of the
thing. I don't think we have talked about this before.
I don't know if we'd seen them open the fridge before, but maybe they were talking about milk or something that one time in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Maybe it just wasn't clear.
Yeah.
Milk talk. That's my new TikTok ripoff. For all the videos are about the dairy industry.
Got milk is a scam.
Yeah, it's not pro dairy industry either. That's the big twist. Milk talk is anti dairy. Anyway.
So Chad's just right at home. He's like taking some food right off of whatever Mrs. Bolton is preparing. And Troy is like, hey, look at the tux. Like, I just got it. And she unzips it a little bit and then like pulls out the shoulder. And he like does a pose while it's held up.
He's like holding his head up like he's a statue.
Yeah, like she's envisioning it on him because you can see his head poking out above the top of the suit. Like, it's in a garment bag, Troy. It's hard to envision. Like,
also, like, there's this whole exchange like, oh, wow, like, it's so gorgeous. And he's like, thanks, Gabriella picked it out. Are you referring to, like, when you were on the rooftop with her and you said, do you want this color or this color?
No, I feel like Gabriella, like, ended up having a conversation like, those are suits. You need a tux. And they went to the tux store and they were like, you're going to rent this one.
Yeah, the garment bag does just say tux on it.
Yep.
Which is kind of fun.
Yeah. Generic.
What do you think? What do you think Mrs. Bolton's cooking?
It looks like a salad to me. Like, she's just prepping a salad. Like,
she might have like a colander of green beans over on the left of the screen, but maybe it's just other greens. Yeah, she looks like she's got maybe like cherry tomatoes or
yeah,
some like lettuce in a bowl in the middle. But she's also got this like flower in the middle of like the kitchen island that she's working at. So it seems a little complicated.
Yeah.
I guess everyone's kitchen island or kitchen counters like that, where you're like, there's 13 things on here and only two of them are what I'm using right now.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Although they've got the cabinet space, so maybe it was something she was, maybe she's got cookies in the oven or something too, because Mrs. Bolton's always making cookies, it seems. Or no, that's Mrs. Montez, but like.
I do like that Chad just grabbed a drink out of the fridge. He gets like a canned drink out of the fridge, although I don't know if we see him like pop the top, because I think it is like opened.
Yeah, no, you hear him, you hear the noise.
Okay. Classic noise. Another noise that's normally very loud to hear that is understated in the sound mix. So how come this movie didn't win an Oscar for best sound mixing? Come on, guys.
Cowards. That's what they are. It's 2008. What are they up against?
The Dark Knight.
Oh. Cowards.
And Iron Man. Those are the two like big 2008 movies that come off the top of my head, but I don't know what the Oscar movies from that year were.
I'm still calling them all cowards.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, High School Musical 3 should have won every Oscar. We all know this.
Absolutely.
Troy for best lead actor. Gabriella for best lead actress. Supporting actor?
Chad or Mr. Bolton?
I was going to go the wrestler from the...
Oh, from right, the, right, right. Yep.
No, football player.
Football player.
From the scrapyard scene.
Yeah.
Because he killed it. And best supporting actress goes to Kelsey, obviously.
Not Darbus? That was a riveting scene.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah. Did, what's that actress's name?
Allison Reed.
Yeah, did she ever win any awards? I don't know. She seems like she's more of a theater person in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. I don't know.
Best directing for Kenny Ortega.
Choreography.
What's winning best original song here? Is it Can I Have This Dance?
I feel like that's probably your strongest of what we've heard so far.
The Boys Are Back. Honestly, if The Boys Are Back was nominated, you would want to see Zac Efron and Corbin Bleu on stage at the Oscars.
Performing. Would the little kids come out too?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Back to business here. So Troy is just so excited, and Mrs. Bolton's like, oh, and I ordered that corsage for you. It's all going to be perfect. And it's like, excuse me? Troy didn't have to order his own corsage. I have problems here. Did he at least pick it out?
Yeah, it seems like he picked it out.
Or did he just say it needs to be this color? Because
Maybe the florist is on the other side of town, and that's where she works, and Troy... It would be impossible for him to get over there because he's always at rehearsal or something. So maybe she was just doing him a solid.
Okay. As long as he had some like force, like if he had some decision making in it, some agent, like I want him to be accountable.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And the corsage is usually like, you boy date at a prom. This is your one job. Get the corsage and put it on the girl's wrist.
Exactly.
In the midst of this conversation, when Troy is sort of noticing that his phone is ringing, his mom turns to Chad and says, you did good. But what did Chad do anything? Is she just referring to generally Troy did good, but she's referring to the two of them sort of?
I think it's a general, like, y'all are doing great. Like, I'm so proud of you. Like, you're growing up to be such nice young men. Kind of like, I knew you when you were in pre-K and now you're seniors in high school and you're doing so well.
Yeah. So Troy notices that Gabriella's calling and he sort of walks to the other side of the kitchen to answer it.
And sits on the counter, which his mom is cooking on. Like, dude.
But maybe he's on like the far side of the counter where cows talk and the
antelope play.
Yeah. You know, the far side.
Yeah.
You know, there's the one side of the counter that you do the cooking on, and there's the one side of the counter that you, like, put your keys on.
Yeah.
And he gets hit straight up. Not even hello.
Yeah, we need to talk.
We need to talk. Oh, my God.
How classic movie is that?
It would only be more classic if Chad said, "You guys got to come see this." And they all ran over and went to the TV.
And Gabrielle is on the screen. Freshman orientation students. Wow, judge it. Like, it's something like absurd. And like, are you kidding me? Like, that's not news. You know what I mean, though, right?
No, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you because the idea of Troy seeing a news article, a news story about Gabrielle just being at Stanford. I thought you were going to say, like, girl builds a bridge or like, no. Like she's doing some sort of robotic feat of engineering. But no, it's just she's there.
Like, welcome weekend at Stanford commences. Like, why?
Do you ever, it's not even the, like the doctor's office that just like plays the like half hour loop of like non-news show. But like the one step below that where you're like in a public building and it's like a news channel that like isn't even anything. It's just like shots of a beach in Brazil. And then like a headline gets shown and then it's like a trivia question.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's like something that will play on the TV of like a business, like the Wendy's near my house has this where it's like, this isn't like a channel or a show. This is just like the only thing that you don't have to pay for, I guess.
I don't know. Sure. I have no point of reference for this, so.
Do you, what about gas station TV? Do you know gas station TV?
Yeah. Yeah, Maria Menounos is on that.
This is the sort of thing that they would show on gas station TV.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, there are students at Stanford. They're there. Yeah. You should check it out before you hit mute.
What would make it even more puzzling is like, this isn't even in the same state. Like, nowhere, it's not local news, like, unless it's highlighting Gabriella specifically, but they're in a city, like, that would be funny, though.
Yeah, if there was, like, a camera crew that traveled with Gabriella to Stanford, because it was such big news.
Local East High girl goes to Stanford.
Okay, so the most baffling thing of all in this minute is Gabriella's line, I can't be a little adult right now.
What does that mean?
I have no gosh darn idea what is going on anymore.
Little adult anymore. Like, what does a little adult do in the first place? What are we referencing? Are we referencing stature? Are we referencing, like, when you're an adult in college, but you're, like, not really an adult because, like, you're not paying rent or, like, a lot of the real responsibilities, like insurance and taxes and stuff are still, like, kind of covered by your parents?
Because she says we need to talk. And then she says, I can't be a little adult right now. So it seems like she's saying that in relation to the we need to talk. Like, yeah. I can't be mature about this conversation. Or like they had previously said, like, hey, if we ever have a conversation about our relationship, let's be adults about it. And she's saying, I don't want to be an adult. I want to have like a reckless teenage emotional experience. But that doesn't make sense.
No. So, and it also doesn't help that the minute kind of cuts off, so we don't really know what is continued here, but...
Yeah.
Troy is not happy, clearly. He says, he's like, I don't want to hear that. It's not, I don't want to hear this. It's like...
Don't say that, or it's like...
Yeah.
Or like, oh, no, go ahead. Like, I don't remember either. It's not super important.
It's like generic nonsense. And it pans over. He, like, Troy gets up and to move out of the room because he's, like, self-conscious about what he's going to say next or something. And it pans over to Mrs. Bolton and Chad looking just shocked and concerned.
Well, we get a little bit of the transition from the, like, smile to the, like, face.
Yeah.
Which is always fun.
Like, oh, they're talking to, oh, no.
But, like, I can't be a little adult right now. Like you were saying, like, if she was saying something about like, oh, I thought I was going to be able to like experience this like next step into adulthood, but now I'm at college and I'm like, I'm scared or I want to go back. Like, then you don't open with we need to talk, because we need to talk is sit like, hey, like I have something to say to you. And honestly, it's not about me. It's about you or it's about us.
Yeah.
Whereas if you say something where it's a, that it's about me, you say like, hey, can I tell you something? Or hey, I need to get something off my chest. Or
yeah, like I got something important to say and I just want you to listen.
Even that's better than we need to talk. Like,
yeah.
So
yeah, it's just,
yeah, it's,
and like Gabrielle also had a weird statement earlier where she was like, goodbye. And no, I mean, good night. Kind of like Gabrielle has been soft breaking up with Troy for a while now. And it's like, what is happening?
She's quiet quitting. I have no idea what the movie's communicating to us here other than like, uh-oh, Gabrielle is like off in the magical world at Stanford and she doesn't want to come back to East High or go to the prom. Like, is she going to tell Troy right now that she's not coming back for the prom? Because at no point was that ever indicated like that it was even a possibility. Like,
well, no, there was, she reassured Troy that she's like, I'll be back for prom kind of thing. Like, she kept being like, yeah, I'll definitely be back for prom. You actually said several weeks ago that you were like, they're not going to do this, right?
Like, in a way that it's like, oh, it's implied that like, but the honors program like weekend or week is going to be over before prom. So like, I'm only missing the play because that's the thing that overlaps and prom is not the thing that overlaps.
Unless she gets invited for a longer stay, which still would make no sense.
Yeah. If she's staying in a dorm room, like it's still probably the middle of like, unless it's mid-May and the students have left. But they don't usually do a turnaround that quickly on the sort of like orientation, like visiting students thing. You usually give it a couple weeks so you can clean everything.
Yeah.
I wouldn't imagine there'd be visiting students staying in dorms until June. So like, where is she staying?
Unless it's like a proper admitted students weekend where they're sleeping on the floor of a student's room. Like,
yeah, that's the weird thing is like, why couldn't it just be accepted students day? Like,
or a weekend. Like, it's not a week. Yeah. We're back on our cardboard box. Like,
it's the honors program special orientation. Yeah.
Well, there is clearly more conversation that's going to be happening in the next minute. Some big news is going to drop. Tyler's predicting it's prom related.
Although it's not entirely clear because the way they like cut the Troy walking out of the room, it seems like we could just like get the results of the conversation and not the contents of the conversation, although I think that would be a disservice to Gabriella's character, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's so weird because it's really a, hey, movie, show, don't tell. Like, can we have experienced anything of Gabriella at Stanford that would cause her to not want to come back or not be able to come back? Because it's really just setting up for disappointment here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Well, speaking of setting up for disappointment, you want to do the DCOM segment?
Oh, boy.
Cue the music. Well, Condra, it's been a while since we've done this type of segment where I give you a book category, genre, series, property.
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of have to come up with a pitch for it to be adapted into a Disney-ified version. Now, you could choose that this could take place in the 2007 era of like Disney Channel programming, or you could pitch it as a modern Disney Plus version. But we were texting about this the other day. The Geronimo Stilton series of books is a middle fiction mouse-oriented book series. For those of you who don't know, Geronimo Stilton is an Italian origin book series about a mouse named Geronimo Stilton, who's a bit of a heroic figure. He's kind of an Indiana Jones-esque.
Except he's a journalist.
except he's a journalist who works for a newspaper, not like an archaeologist. But he goes around like participating in little adventures and mysteries around the world. But he doesn't live in like the human world. He lives in like the mouse world, but not like the mouse world of our human world. It's just like a separate world that is mouse oriented.
Yeah.
He lives in like Mouse City or something. Like, I think he lives on an island, actually.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a whole like world. Yeah. And there's like dozens of characters and spinoffs. And yeah,
there's so his sister Thea Stilton is a secret agent. He's got a little friend who is just like a 6-year-old or 7-year-old boy who like runs errands for him sometimes.
Benjamin Stilton, his 9-year-old nephew.
Yeah, thank you. He's got like a few coworkers in the office that sometimes get into bumbling situations that he has to come fix. Can you give me some titles of the books if you've got that on hand? Just, it's been a while since I've worked with them, so.
I got the Wikipedia page up, so there's a bunch of character names too. The most important one I want to say is Hercule Poirot.
Nice.
Geronimo's childhood friend and private investigator.
Nice.
Okay. Well, it seems like the original, so just for the background here, the original Geronimo Stilton was published in 1997, but maybe published in English in 2004, hard to say.
That sounds right. Oh, the other thing before, sorry, the other kind of thing with the Geronimo Stiltons is they're a blend of written out words and pictograms. So it's a great kind of transition book for kids to figure out like complicated words or ideas, because it'll be like a little picture in place of the words, and then they're illustrated and they're in full color, which is just such a unique thing for books.
Yeah, they're like part graphic novel, part novel, and yeah, the words are expressed as pictures. Like it's very literary in the sense that like he's a newspaperman.
Yeah.
Much like Fantastic Mr. Fox. And like a lot of the things that they're doing are like references to classic adventure stories or
classic art, classic
mythology, like, or art. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the original book was Lost Treasure of the Emerald Eye.
Right.
And we got The Curse of the Cheese Pyramid, Cat and Mouse in a Haunted House, I'm Too Fond of My Fur, Four Mice Deep in the Jungle, Paws Off Cheddar Face, Red Pizzas for a Blue Count, Attack of the Bandit Cats. This would be a good, like,
Which of these is real?
which is fake.
What's the Leaning Tower of Pisa one? I know there was a Leaning Tower of Pisa one.
Hold on. There's the Mona Mousa Code, which is a Da Vinci Code riff, I guess.
Nice.
My Name is Stilton, Geronimo Stilton.
Love it.
So
it's like one of those clever book series that's like the adults that are reading them with the child will get a kick out of some of it too. So it's not so like, not to do my call out post for the Rainbow Magic series, but my call out post for the Rainbow Magic series that is the same every book.
There's something comforting about, you know, having a book series that, you know, like there are obviously adult fiction series and
oh, absolutely,
genres that are just supposed to be the same thing every time. But yeah, when it's at that sort of kid reading level where it's like really painful for a parent to have to read to the kid every single time. Yeah, I'm not seeing a Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Watch out.
Off the top of my head, but I would imagine it is a pizza joke. I like it that some of the titles are puns. So there's some special editions, some mini mysteries, and then there's also the spinoff series like Kingdom of Fantasy. There's also like the Cave Mice and the Space Mice,
mm-hmm,
and stuff like that. But there's also the spinoff characters, like Thea Stilton has her own whole.
Yeah, where she's like got friends all around the world and they're solving crimes and like heisting it up.
As if like the yellow mouse Geronimo Stilton series is like super boy coded, which I guess it's good to get like a girl centric book series out there. But yeah, like the idea of like, well, we got to have the girl version is always weird to me.
Yeah, it's also weird to me and incredibly frustrating to me as a librarian. And I'm like, books are for everyone.
Yeah.
Stop making them so unappealing to people.
I'm sure Thea Stilton is an interesting enough character that she deserves to be the center
absolutely.
Of attention.
Absolutely. No, she like, she has some like crazy storylines. Like they're breaking into like Rat Louvre and like, stop at a fashion show. Like there's just like some really cool stuff, and she's got friends all around the world, so like, and they all have different skills. It's kind of Ocean's 8-esque.
Oh yeah. There's also Creepella von Cacklefur.
Oh, the vampire series, I forgot about those.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody in there is literally a vampire, but they're all like the spooky genre one.
Yeah. Okay, so I am...
So you're just pitching an idea to adapt Geronimo Stilton into a Disney property. I guess there's like a Mickey thing that's in there too, because it's mouse. It's like it's Mouse World. So it's a mouse world, but it's not Mickey's Mouse World.
But could it be Mickey Mouse's world?
I mean, you're definitely building up to a crossover at some point.
Yeah, yeah. Like there's one day he like has to cover the big Hollywood premiere kind of thing, and it's Mickey Mouse kind of thing. Like
the art styles don't quite match up, but whatever.
And I was like, Ratatouille could also fit in there, but again, art styles just are like wild between those three.
The idea, anytime that there's like mice and rats like in the same property, and they're
and the
like
rats are
the rats
villains.
Are the evil ones because they're bigger and creepier.
Great Mouse Detective does that. With Ratigan. It's literally his name. So I'm thinking, honestly, this screams as your like staple after school cartoon, 30 or 22 minutes, like, or what are the, I don't know if they're still 22 minutes when they're just on Disney Plus kind of thing. I don't watch.
It can range. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a little bit of flexibility, which is nice.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, this would be a fun, because honestly, it honestly gives off more PBS vibes.
Yeah.
It's like it in the Wishbone or the Carmen Sandiego, like there's educational elements to Geronimo Stilton, but I think Disney could still pull it off because like there's some fun, wacky adventures. There's like opportunities for weird sound effects. The boing, boing kind of sound effect could it happen?
I should say there is an animated TV series, but it was produced, I think, for Italy.
Oh.
And I don't know if it ever crossed over. So, I mean, you're totally right that TV series is the thing that makes the most sense because, like, the thing that we're basing this on is, like, a sort of, like, serialized adventure or mystery genre.
It's your episodic, like, oh, and you could have the two-parters where it's, like, a little more high adventure, like, when they're...
If I could challenge you here, maybe let's pitch the like movie or like hour special that will be like the pilot to the series.
Okay. So like classic 90s when they had to, when like Buzz Lightyear's first, like the pilot episode was actually like three episodes.
Less that and more like Lilo and Stitch becomes a TV show. Mm-hmm. But like, let's actually make the movie feel like the main thing.
Okay. I have the idea.
Okay.
So let's, because I don't believe this actually happened. We in the books, encounter Geronimo Stilton already as an established newspaperman. His sister's already doing her own thing. His nephew is 9. And, like, he's just doing his thing with his adventure.
Is this the origin story?
I want to pitch the origin story of Geronimo Stilton. So he's a younger mouse fresh out of journalism school, and he's moving to the big city for his first job, and his first apartment isn't quite what he's expecting it, and his bigger older sister's already living this fabulous life with her fancy friends, and he's like, oh, I don't quite fit in here, and I want to figure out if I can do this by myself. So he like cold goes into a bunch of newspaper offices, and like he's like, I'm fresh out of school. And they're like, thanks, kid. No, thanks. And kind of like Kermit when he loses his memory in Muppets Take Manhattan. Going for that kind of vibe where it's like funny, but it's also kind of sad. also like a little Zootopia-y, beginning of Zootopia.
Fair.
And he walks, like, he's like down, he's having a day and gets to, I can't remember the name of his gazette that he ends up working at. I know it's a gazette that I do remember for some reason.
The Rodents Gazette.
The Rodents Gazette. And he walks into the office and it is an absolute flurry of paper and people and just like chaos. And he's like, can I? And he just like tries to stop interrupt because he's like nervous. Like Geronimo Stilton is not like a gumption kind of guy. He's not Indiana Jones in that respect. He like gets nervous and like falls into these situations.
Yeah, he's a little bookish.
And he's like, excuse me. And they're like, oh, good, you're here. This, like, someone just drops these pile of papers in his arms and he like figures it out because he like interned at like his local newsstand back home, which is why he doesn't have enough qualifications for the fancy places.
Condra, can I give you a quick pitch?
Yeah.
There's a rival newspaper publishing firm, The Daily Rat, run by Sally Ratmousen, who's a recurring antagonist. So Ooh. Feel free to
Okay, thank
feel
you.
Feel free to loop in the, yeah, the rival no. yeah. newspaper.
So at the end of the day, they're like, wait, who are you? Kind of thing. Like they didn't realize it at the end of the day. Like they just roped this guy in. He's like, I was looking for a job. And they're like, great, you're hired. And he like goes out and is all excited. And
so your act one is he gets to the new city. It's busy and it's bigger than him, but he's hopeful. And he lucks into a little bit of a job situation at this sort of newspaper, which is also as messy and bumbling as he is. But because of that, he kind of fits right in.
Yeah, it's earnest and they're kind. Like maybe the one right before he went to was the rat one.
The Daily Rat.
And they just slammed the door in his face like aggressively and he like bumped out and like skidded on his butt. You know how like animated shows like to do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then he gets his first big assignment, which is like, I don't know, trash is disappearing or like it's something like small and inconsequential.
Oh, totally. Totally.
But like
very elemental.
He like goes in with such like gumption and then he runs into the young Sally, who is also this earnest, who is also this newer newspaper person, but she's conniving and backstabby and like she butters him up to only betray him in act three. Like, you'll never get this story published, not while I'm in charge, like not while I'm in this town. I don't know what the, like, they kind of not buddy up together. I'm thinking like when it's the pink girl from Series of Unfortunate Events and they get stuck together, not by any like desire to be, but it just kind of happens. And Sally like bullies Geronimo Stilton into these events and she like plans the trap with him as the bait. And she's like, well, cool. Got my answer. Bye. And it ends up that Thea Stilton was like watching him all along in the background and she like swoops in to save him. And he's like, oh, you do care. And she's like, of course, we're family kind of thing. And I'm so glad that you found this newspaper company and like you're doing well for yourself. And he stays up all night writing the story and it splashes the headlines first in the Gazette. And he makes a name for himself at the paper and like it starts getting talked around the city kind of thing. And like, they're like, you want a full-time beat kind of thing? And he's like, yeah. And then it goes into being like more stories from there.
Totally, totally. I think if we had more time, I would like pitch you it to like tease it out into a five-act structure because I think like having like act two be the fun and games of like, hey, go around like reporting and like getting to meet the various characters. Like there's like a scientist character and a TV reporter character that he has a crush on. That could be fun. And then like your like mid movie thing could be like the rival newspaper, but then like building to a more adventure based climax. I'm thinking fun. Like
Toy Story 3-ish with like some Zootopia capturing kind of vibes, like peril for like Geronimo.
You want the ending that's obvious from like the first initial plot point to like be achieved at like the 70 minute mark, and then you want there to be like, oh, but what's the last 30 minutes of this movie gonna be, which is kind of what Zootopia does.
Yeah.
And a lot of Pixar movies. So yeah, I think realizing that the evil rat reporter is not like on his side is like a good setup to like, oh, what's the overall thing that's been like the background of everything we've come to so far? It's kind of like
disappearing
Detective
trash.
Pikachu or, yeah. You know, Elemental or yeah. All these other movies where it's like, oh, we were building to something all along.
Yeah. I don't know. Geronimo Stilton's a really fun character, though, and like the book series is a ton of fun. So just like I want it to be lighthearted and got some good jokes and like fun references and like.
It's all super character based, too, like.
Which is why I think it works better as a TV show than as a movie, because I think honestly it would get super overwhelming to be like, here's all the characters.
Well, yes, I think it's fine to introduce characters in a movie, and then it can almost feel fun to be like, oh, there's that character that I love and that character that I love, and like I'm glad I got to see all of them, and let's get to know them more in the future, I guess. So then the last thing is the movie's like young Geronimo Stilton, so like is there anything that like Solo or Indiana Jones happens that like establishes,
I guess we can have a time cut at the end to be like,
or is this like a memoir he's writing, is that like the, I guess all of the books are memoirs, but
yeah, like they're, yeah. Or he's like having his like 5-year anniversary and they reveal like his first case, kind of like your Sherlock Holmes. Like,
I guess like the thing that I'm going for is they're like the opening scene of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, where it's like, oh, this is where he got the whip and the fear of snakes. Like, what is the Geronimo Stilton thing for like him to like get when he's younger? Well, is it like the green
suit?
It's
a newspaper format, so like we see at the beginning like 5-year retrospective or 10-year retrospective Geronimo Stilton cracks trash case or whatever at the beginning of the movie, and then you zoom into the cartoon, and because Geronimo writes very personally, it's very Sherlock Holmes in that respect, where it's like from Watson's voice and it's like, ah, yes, we had tea, and then like, so Geronimo Stilton writes it almost as like if it's a narrative story, because that's what they are. And so like you zoom into the newspaper, and then at the end it like, and that was my like experience on my first case. And it's like them all holding it up and cheering because he's celebrating his like 10th year at the newspaper or something. He's getting his promotion that is in the, like whatever his title is in the book.
Okay. I guess I was hoping for some sort of like corny Han Solo gets his last name-esque reference, but those are bad. Like, those aren't good when they happen, so why would you want that?
Yeah, I think some sort of, like, tongue-in-cheek paper zoom-in, that feels very kids' show appropriate, too. Like, oh, we're zooming into a book, and then at the end we zoom back out of the book and, like, have the party.
Very Lord of the Rings, yeah.
Or, like, Enchanted does that.
All right. Well, I mean, it was worth talking about Geronimo Stilton.
Yeah, Geronimo Stilton's great.
I don't know if I ever actually read any of the books, but
if you've got a young person in your life that's in 2nd to 4th grade, get them a Geronimo Stilton book. They're going to have a ball reading it.
It's better than the Magic Treehouse.
Heck yeah. Not that those are bad. They're just different.
And we can build up to the anthropomorphic mouse fight that we've all been wanting. Yeah. Geronimo Stilton versus Mickey versus the Rescuers.
Versus Ratatouille.
We all know Ratatouille would win.
I don't know if Remy would win that fight. Bianca's got some bite to her.
Okay, yeah. I guess the Rescuers are the main challenge there. And it depends on if cartoon physics and logic apply, because Mickey's obviously,
yeah,
he can't
Mickey's
die.
Goat,
like,
yeah.
But if you get Remy with Linguini, then that's a different story.
Yeah, that's not fair.
If you get Remy with linguine and a kitchen knife.
Yeah, that's bringing a knife. Like, that's bringing a gun to a knife fight kind of thing. Like, no, thank you.
Bringing a gun to a knife fight is the reverse of that. But yes, I agree.
A knife to a mouse fight?
Bringing a knife to a mouse fight. Yep. Exactly.
Well.
All right.
That was minute 82 and chat about Geronimo Stilton adaptation. Until next time, you can find us on Instagram at Amateur Nerds.
Or on Tumblr at Wildcat Minute.
You can send us an email to amateurnerdspresent@gmail.com.
Yeah, email us your art of the High School Musical characters in Geronimo Stilton style.
Ooh, I'd like that.
Mouse, they're not OCs. What is that?
Super Tumblr.
Mouse sonas.
Yeah, they're mouse sonas, definitely. Special thanks to our artist, Theo Golden, at TGoldenArt on Instagram.
And our musician, Joe Winslow, whom you can find at joewinslowmusic.com.
I have been Condra.
And I've been Tyler. We'll see you next time to find out what Troy and Gabriella are going to talk about. You can bet on it.